Hare Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastoma Vidyavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So page 18, Sutra 1.1.22. Akashastha lingat. Akasha, the word akasha, tat of him, lingat, because of the qualities. The word akasha refers to Brahman because Brahman's qualities are mentioned in the verse. Sri Govindabhasya, Vishaya. Asya lokasya ka gatir iti akasha iti hovacha. What is the goal of the people? He said. It is Akash. All elements arise from Akash. They all merge into Akash. Akash is the goal. Chandogya Upanishad 191. Because these qualities that have been described, that describes the Lord, as Brahman. It doesn't describe the soul. It doesn't actually describe the material energy. It means on a lower level you can say, yes, they all go back into Akash, and then from there they go back into other elements. So the other four go into Akash, but then Akash goes into something. But here they say they all merge into Akash. They arise from Akash. So then actually, if you take it back further, then you understand that's Brahman. Yes?
Why would they use the same term?
Because there'll be some common principles. Like if you take space, what's the quality of space?
Space.
More furniture. Yes.
Sound.
Huh?
Sound.
Sound. No, but this. Besides that, just space itself. What's the thing about space?
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's unlimited. It's all so that's the point. Is Brahman is like that. It is what's creating the space. You know, because Brahman itself is existence. So that means if there's existence, then there's a place for things to be. So does that make sense? So on that level, then you can say Brahman is Akash. Okay. That's why then we say the spiritual sky. Or the material sky. Is that? Yeah. Samshaya. The doubt is this. Does the word Akash refer to the ether or Brahman? Right? Because generally when we're using it, we're referring to the ether itself, right? Within the creation. Purva Paksha. The word Akasha means the element ether. From ether, which is the common meaning of Akasha, comes air. Ether is said to be the cause of the other material elements, right? So that's their doubt. Because being that if you take it as ether, then yes, all the other elements, then they are manifest from that. So then they're trying to say that it's that. Because as soon as you're having qualities, other things like this, then they want to say it's not Brahman. And then also it makes it that they can be Brahman. Because if Brahman's something beyond the soul, something beyond the material energy, something beyond everything, then they're actually not it. And they really want to be it. Right? Okay. Siddhanta. Akash. Akashastha lingat. Akasha refers to Brahman, not ether. Why? Because qualities such as giving rise to all elements are the qualities of Brahman, not ether. The following should be mentioned. The word all indicates that all elements, including ether, arise from this Akash. Everything, including ether, cannot arise from ether. Right. So otherwise, ether has to be producing itself. But then, what about their philosophy? It's either coming from Brahman, or it's all coming from the illusion, or something. No, but here, then, why would it be coming from Akash? So that means Akash has to be something beyond ether. Okay. Everything, including ether, cannot arise from ether, since something cannot be the cause of itself. The word Eva indicates that only from this Akash does everything arise. There is no other cause of everything. Ether is not the sole cause of the elements, just as the earth is not the sole cause of pots. Pots have other causes as well. Right? So it means you have a pots made out of earth. It's nothing but earth, but what's actually the cause for it?
Potter.
Yeah, the potter. Then somebody wants it. There's a desire for it or a need for it. So there's so many causes. So then, like that, Akash also, if we say it all comes from Akash, but there's other things, because why does Akash give rise to air? Because you mix it again with the catalyst of false ego. Then you get air. Mix that again with false ego, then you get fire. Mix it again, you get water, like this. So that means is actually Akash isn't actually the real cause. It means it's the substance from which the one is expanding. But it's not actually the real cause, because ego is behind. And why there's ego? Because there's the desire to control and enjoy. And why this can even function? Because the Supreme Lord sanctions it. You know, it's his desire that the living entities then make their effort with the material energy and then find out that it's basically a waste of time. Right? But unfortunately, being so stubborn, we've been here since time immemorial trying to figure that one out. But then you could say, if we're listening to this, then finally there's an idea. Maybe something's wrong with this place. Maybe I'm not the supreme controller and enjoyer. You know, just maybe. We're open to the suggestion, though not fully convinced, right? So, yeah.
So Akash is going to convince us?
No, that's at the point Brahman is. That's the whole point. If it's just space, you know, because otherwise somebody's an airhead, you know, it's not good, or spaced out, you know. But, you know, if you're absorbed in Brahman, now we'll say, okay, now we're talking here, you know, like that, yeah. However, Brahman is the sole cause of everything, since Brahman possesses all Shaktis and all forms. Though the common meaning of Akash is ether, Brahman has precedence as the meaning here, because the meaning makes more sense. Because right, you're trying to make, there should be a consistency. Right? So there's precedence. Seeing that Brahman is a higher position, or is the highest position, over Akash. And if it could apply to both Brahman and Akash, but it doesn't make sense with Akash, but it does with Brahman, therefore Brahman would be the point. Yes.
So why would Veda Vyas not just use the word Brahman?
Because the discussions are about these things. These are all points of the philosophy. Because the Chandogya Upanishad says Akash. So then from that, then people, through their hermeneutics, will come up with different ideas. You know, some will be, it's coming from material energy, some it's this and that. You know, what's their reason? So it's only in Vedanta will it actually be that it's Brahman. Because even we see in Shankara's Vedanta, it's not Brahman. So only in Vaishnava Vedanta, then you'll understand it's about the Supreme Lord. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:41. Sri Akura said, I bow down to you, the cause of all causes, the original and inexhaustible Supreme Person, Narayana. From the whirl of the lotus born from your navel, Brahma appeared, and by his agency this universe came into being. 10:42. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, and its source, false ego, Mahatattva, the total material energy and her source, the Supreme Lord's Purusha expansion, the mind, the sense objects, and the senses presiding deities. All these causes of the cosmic manifestation are born from your transcendental body. Right? So here's the point. It all comes from him. That's the whole point that we're trying to say. Otherwise, since they don't want to say anything's come from Brahman, because Brahman is unchangeable, and because you have a material world, that means there's been some change. So that can't be Brahman, which is true. But then the problem is because they don't accept that Brahman has energies. Right? Their idea of Brahman being unchanging means it can't have energies. Why can't something be unchanging and have energies? Because the unchanging remains unchanging, the energies change. But they can't adjust with that, because anything that changes, they take it as temporary. They don't understand the eternal position of it. Manifestations maybe, but the potency and the position of it is eternal. Right? So therefore, then they can't understand that it can come from Brahman. So it has to come from somewhere else. If there's transformation, if there's change, it must be from somewhere else. And then what that somewhere else, what's that something else is? So then, you know, the jiva in illusion, avidya, then akash, you know, somewhere. They'll try to put it somewhere. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. They're trying to get something to take the rap here, because it can't be Brahman. But their ultimate point is they become Brahman. So that's why they're so doggedly hold on to it. Otherwise, if they weren't attached, they would they wouldn't have any problems. Just like a Brahmavadi, they can actually understand it if they come in contact. Because everything's Brahman anyway, so they're Brahman, the Supreme's Brahman, it's all Brahman. So they don't have a problem that everything's Brahman. They see whatever there is as Brahman. Right? While the Mayavadis, if you can perceive it, it must not be Brahman, it's illusion. Right? Because they want to be God. But the point is the Brahmavadis, it's already, we're all God anyway, because we're all Brahman. Right? And so then, as Prabhupada points out, there's big Brahman and there's small Brahman. So Krishna is big Brahman and we, the Jiva, are small Brahman. Right? So then they don't have any problems. So when they come in contact with the understanding that the Supreme Brahman, you can have a relationship, an interaction, and that gives even more happiness than just being situated on the Brahman platform, they can easily adjust because they're already God. Right? Everything already is God. While for the impersonalists, they're trying to say it's all illusion and they're trying to become God. They say everything's God, but they mean when it comes to its perfectional state. Right? The illusion and everything goes. But the Brahma, I said, no, everybody's God already. But the point is there's gradations in this Godness. You know what I'm saying? Just like your finger is you, but at the same time, you're different. You're greater than the finger. You're bigger than the finger. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. That's what they can't catch, because they're not accepting the personal aspect. Does this make some sense? Yeah. Yes.
It sounds very similar to the Judeo-Christianic idea that Satan is the origin of all evil.
Yes, because they can't attribute it to God, because if there is, they'll see a fault in God. So that's why they'll have problem with this. Because as soon as it doesn't make sense to them, because it's that, then it must be the devil. Right? So, like that. Yes. Like that. So that's the problem. Yes.
The Mayavadis, like, when they differentiate between Nirvishesha and Savishesha Brahman, which gets transformed.
Right.
So their aim is, their goal is to become one with the Savishesha Brahman.
No. They want to get the Nirvishesha. And so because the Savishesha is material, and since they're still conditioned and thinking and all those kind of things like that, then their idea is therefore they're the Savishesha Brahman. Because everything's one, so therefore they're non-different from the Savisesha Brahman. So that means who's the Savisesha Brahman? That's Lord Vishnu. So therefore then they are Narayan. Hence the Swamis call each other Narayan. With that little smug smile on their face. Right? Is that so? Yeah. Like that. What was that phrase the other day we came across? Something about Brahman.
Oh yeah, it was...
You know, that would be the retort.
Yeah.
I saw one of the Narayans one time begging for chapatis in Vrindavan.
Yes, yes. It's their pastime. Yeah, and if you get out a cricket bat and knock them all into the ditch, that's also a pastime. Yeah, that was good. So when they say Narayan, then you say that one. But it's really funny. Whenever I pass sometimes at ISKCON Sannyasi, then I'll say Narayan, Narayan. They don't know what to do with them.
Some Ramai Vasan.
Huh?
Ramai Vasan.
Ramai Vasan means?
Yeah, that was the term. Means becoming like Brahman.
Becoming like
Japan. Connected to Japan.
Yeah.
Ramai Vasan.
Ramai Vasan. What page is that?
Just 11.
Okay. Adhikarana 9, concerning prana. Prana adhikaranam. See, because he being everything, this is showing how he's everything. Means there is a technical thing, how everything comes down, how the expansion is made, how you know, the creation, maintenance, and destruction. But let's just on this verse before, you know, on the previous verse. Now let us say maintenance, right? We always say, okay, there's creation, that's the big thing, and then there's destruction, that's quite a big thing, and then there's maintenance, right? Okay, that's, you know, it doesn't sound very great, at least in the modern context. But the point is if you're maintaining something, that means its existence is there. So it's not just that you're taking care of it. It means the very existence of it is what you're taking care of. That's where it starts. So that's the whole point, is the whole creation sits on existence. Right? And then it can be maintained in that state of existence. So it's actually much bigger than just creating it. Because creating, you're not providing anything. You're taking what's there and creating something. That's why Prabhupada says engineer. Destruction also, you're not providing anything unless you're bringing along a sledgehammer or something. But other than you're not doing, you're just destroying what's there. But the point is maintenance is the basis of creation and destruction. It's a background, why everything exists. So that's why only Vishnu can do that. Does that make sense? So that's another point. It's just everything's resting on that. Just like everything sits in space. Why? Because there's the original. Everything sits in Krishna's existence. Right? So that's the idea, is that all these different things that here mechanically you see have their origin in Krishna. That's why in many of the prayers of the devotees, you see that they'll go through all these technicalities. Like that. So especially you see that with the Dwarka devotees. Like that. The Braj devotees will mention it, but they won't get into such technical detail. They'll use a little bit more generic terms because they're trying to get down to Krishna's, you know, that relationship with Krishna, that sweetness and all that. But though they mention it in essence, but you'll see generally the Dwarka devotees. So here Akrura is saying, you'll also see Vasudev in his prayers to Krishna at Kurukshetra. Then they'll say so many of these technical points, how he's everything, how he's all the elements, how he's the modes of nature, how he's all these different things. Okay, concerning prana, prana adhikaranam, sutra reference 1123, adhikarana prakashika. Following the same format as the preceding adhikarana, Adhikarana 9 says that the prana mentioned in Chandogya Upanishad 1.11, 4-5, denotes the highest Brahman, right? Because before we discussed about the five levels of consciousness. You know, how nourishment, you know, or the earth, how then, how you say, life force, or the, you know, just the general populace, how the, how you say, the mind, the need for that, the protection, the following the laws, then the liberation. All these different things, these are all the Lord. And so ultimately of that, he's the Anandamaya Purush. So in the same principle, then all these different aspects. So he is the space that, he is the existence of everything. He is the vital force of everything. Yes? Yeah. Summary of Adhikarana 9. Vishaya. The Chandogya Upanishad states, from prana, all the material elements have emanated, and into prana they enter at the end. Right, so if you're saying it all goes into Akash, and then, you know, comes from Akash, goes back to Akash, how can it come from prana and go into prana, if it's the material elements? So it must mean it's the Supreme Lord. You're just taking the various unlimited aspects of the Lord, therefore saguna. Right? So therefore, if it comes from him, I mean, because the life force is coming from him. Everything is, how is it moving? It's come from, but how is it coming? Because of that potency. Right? Everything moves, everything, because of that. Mm. Yes?
The difference between Akasha and Prana, which is more subtle? And what's their connection, if there any?
No, here's just showing that it's just two different aspects. Prana means the life force. Akash means the existence or the space. It means you have an existence, but that existence means it has to fit into something. For something to exist, there has to be. So therefore, the existence, that's Krishna. And then the accommodation of that existence, that's Yogamaya. That's the internal potency. Mm-hmm. That's the, what's it called? The... Yeah. All accommodating potency, Prabhupada says. Mm-hmm. Thought, what's that?
Adhara Shakti.
Adhara Shakti, yes. So that's the Adhara Shakti. Right. So, in other words, Brahman is the masculine element here of existence, and then the feminine is Adhara Shakti, that whatever is existing can be accommodated. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. Yeah.
Can we say that Akash is the field for Prana?
Yes, because prana is that your means that it exists, and then you have the activity itself. Because otherwise, how do things move? How do they do things? That means because there must be prana, there must be life force. So,
Maharaj, is it that prana always comes from Brahman, either soul, either super soul?
Yes, because he's the vital force. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if he's not imbuing, then we generally tend to be a bit unconscious, because it's not the body that makes things work. Hence, you know, zombies aren't a reality. You know, so therefore, it's without the soul, then there can't be. But how is the soul having vital force? That's coming from Krishna. Because we say the soul is doing it, but soul is Brahman. That, but Brahman meaning the Tathasta Shakti Brahman. That's come from the internal potency Brahman, which has come from Krishna. So therefore, life force comes from him. Right? Your finger, it moves. Why? Because of you. It's not that on its own it's doing.
So life force is the force. Yeah.
Otherwise, that would have, during the French Revolution, they would have had real problems. You know. All those heads. Wow, talking heads. You know, all those heads along the... on the pikes there, and they're all talking, and you know, things. So it doesn't. So that's the whole thing. So the point is, the body gets from the soul, but the soul gets from the Lord. So that's the thing, is you have to be able to see. The same principle goes all the way down. They want to say it's whatever we see and whatever principles are here, Brahman has to be beyond that, so it has nothing to do with that. And since all these formulas are there, Brahman means there's no formula. But what we're saying is, Brahman is the supreme principle. And so all these other principles being part and parcel of him have some aspect of him in it, but it will be less. You know what I'm saying? It's just as you go, the quality of something, it's smaller and smaller. So he is everything, but the amount of full qualities aren't so much there. Or you have to know what to see. Like you have a pile of garbage. Okay, so from the superior qualities of, let's say, cleanliness, then it's lacking. So it's lacking the potency, so it's a negative potency, right? But if we look at it from another aspect, then it becomes compost. So then that is nourishing, right? So that's Krishna. So the nourishing element of that, that's the positive. Right? So you have to be able to see what is there. But the potency behind it all, that's Krishna. Otherwise, it can't function. So, yeah? Okay. Samshaya. Does the word prana here refer to the breath that travels in and out of the mouth? Or does it refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Right? So that's the doubt. And so now there, point Purvapaksha. The ordinary meaning of the word prana is the breath that travels in and out of the mouth. That meaning is intended here. Interesting how they, you know, just how exact is the Vedic, you know, that, how you say, the breath that travels in and out of the mouth. So they're not talk prana is not the how you say the air that moves in and out between the ears. You know, we're not talking about that. Yeah. Siddhanta. Srila Vyasadeva refutes this view by speaking the following sutra. Ata eva pranaha. The word prana in the Vedic literatures refers to the supreme Brahman for the same reasons expressed in the previous sutra. Because the qualities match. They don't match the everything's not coming from your breath. Like that. That was it.
Well, that was the Prakashika for the...
Oh, okay, because it just has the number and everything again. Sorry.
So it's the Adhikarana Prakashika?
Yeah, this is okay. For the Adhikarana, and then here.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just when there's one sutra, then it...
Then it seems strange.
Yeah, okay.
It seems like you do it twice.
Yes, but you'd not. Okay. Ata eva pranaha. Ata eva. Therefore, pranaha. The word prana. The prana is Brahman. For the same reason, right? So this is also a kind of sutra where sutras means there's sutras that stand on their own that they're making something, you know, or it means to stand on their own means they're complete in themselves, though there may be a progression. But there's also the kind of sutras like this where they're building on one another. You can't see them separately. So this one, Ata Eva Pranaha, means it already includes what was given before because of qualities. Akasha, the word taught of him, lingat, because of qualities. So the lingat's already there in because of qualities. So that's the whole point. Therefore, ata eva, therefore prana is also the same. You understand?
Same with Harinamrita Vyakara.
Yes, Harinamrita Vyakara does that. You have a list of ones that one is building on the next. There's a root sutra, and then all of them are just the variations on that. That's the advantage of sutra. You don't have to say the whole thing again. You just say this, you know, concerning this, it's like the previous one. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's like when Prabhupada was asked, what do you think of Ramakrishna? We don't think of him. What about Vivekananda? He's another rascal. So that's using that technique of the sutra, that the second one is based on the first. Like that, you can see that they're connected. Because otherwise, you wouldn't catch it, you know. In other words, he's called the first, what do you think of him? We don't think. But then he did call him a rascal in the second one. Like that. That's the technique. Shigovinda Bhashya, Vishaya. Katama sa devateti prana iti hovacha. Who is the deity? He answered, it is prana. All beings arise from prana and merge into prana. Right? So this is Upanishads, right? It'll be harder to understand. That's why then Vedanta Sutra is explaining it. But then even this is hard to understand, so then Bhagavatam is there explaining it. Yes.
So this would be Karandakashaya.
Yes, you could say like that. Because the whole point is it comes down to the term generally used is super soul. Because on all three levels, you could say that the super soul of the Mahatattva is Karanadakshaya Vishnu. Then of the universe is Garbhadakshaya, of the individual living entity or you know everything that's there, that's Kiradakshaya. So generally the term just uses is super soul. Because super soul is in everything, therefore it has vital force. Therefore it has accommodation. Therefore, and all that will go back into him. So even he expands, but that's just to take care of all the little things. So Karanadakshaya Vishnu has entered everything, but he enters as Garbhadakshaya and Kiradakshaya. He expands. So there's a slight difference in flavor, though it's him. But he's Sankarshan. So then as Garbhadakshaya, then it's Prajumna, because otherwise, how do you get attracted to something, right? So we see is that at first he makes everything, and then they can't put it together, so there's no gravity. You know, there's no attraction between them. But putting in that attraction so that you can create things, that also makes our attraction, you know, why we are attracted to it. So basically, we're attracted to the universe because of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Right? Then Kirodakshaya Vishnu, then He's the one that's witness sanctioning and everything like that, so we're able to get things done and do things and have desires and try to fulfill them. So therefore, everything here is moving and doing everything to match the desire and needs of all the living entities. Does that make sense? He's Anirudhi, yes, because he's the goal. We want something. He's all these things that are here. What's the point unless we can do something with them and get a result? So that we're attracted to it, that's Prajumna. That we want the result, and you know, that's Aniruddha. But the existence of all that is Sankarshan, so is Karana Dakshay Vishnu. So they're the same person, but different features. So that's why they'll just generally in this context, when they're explaining the Lord in this way, they generally just refer to super soul.
Yeah.
Okay. Samshaya, the doubt is this. Is this prana the chief heir within the body or the Supreme Lord? Purva Paksha. Taking the common meaning, it means heir, since prana is the cause of all beings. That is the meaning of arising from prana and merging into prana, mentioned in the verse. The problem is with this, is where does prana come from? Right? So that would be that's why he's saying it's the same point. Is yes, you can say like this on the conventional meaning. Yes, it can mean that. But the point is where does prana rest? Right? Where is the source of prana? Why does it have potency to do something? Because you can't have something happening without potency. Right? And the potency must come from potent. Is that like that? So that's the whole point, is they're talking about these energies, but energies come from an energetic. That's why it means Brahman. So, yeah. Siddhanta. Ata eva pranaha. The prana is Brahman for the same reason. Prana means the Supreme Lord, not the transformation of air. Why? Because the quality of Brahman, giving rise to all beings and destroying them, is mentioned. Because right, it's always mentioned that everything's resting on, everything comes from Brahman. Everything we see is a transformation of the energies of Brahman. That's why it exists. Right? Does that make sense? But the point is here we separate it because we're trying to get back to the Lord. So we see it, all these energies that are transformation of the Lord, as something separate from the Lord and for our enjoyment. Therefore, it's what we call material world. But when we see it in connection with Krishna, that it's his energies, it's the transformation of the energy of Brahman, then we're not looking at the material world. We're looking at the material energy, but we're not looking at the material world. We're on the transcendental platform. Right? Does that make sense? And so from that, then we're not conditioned. Then when one comes to that point, when you have a relationship, now there's those sages that are on this side of, you know, liberation. So then they'll continue to look that way. Those on that side, then having a relationship with the Lord and Shantaras, they appreciate how he's in everything and how he's doing, and they appreciate the personal, how he interacts. But when that personal is increased, that one doesn't make the distinction anymore. It's just the Lord. So therefore, there is all these things, but you just do. So just like us in conventional activity, we don't make a distinction between this mode and that mode and all these different things. We just act within the field. So the same way in the spiritual world, they do that same thing. They act within the spiritual field. Does that make sense? But when you're trying to transfer from one to the other, it's good to know the difference. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. Because otherwise you'll be surprised when you get up there. See, the easiest thing to do is if you want to sneak out in the evening and all that and you want to make preparations, you can't spend all the time cooking dinner and everything like that. So the easiest would be to call out for pizza. And then while everybody's out the door, you know, getting the pizza and figuring out who had got change and who's eating what piece and who ordered what, you're sneaking out the back and going to the Rasa dance. Right? But it's not there like that. So you have to be able to tell the difference between the two energies. Yeah? Does that make sense? No.
It's too elevated.
It's too... Oh. Okay. Okay, next year. Okay. Bhagavatam verse reference, Srimad Bhagavatam 8.5.37. All living entities, moving and non-moving, receive their vital force, their bodily strength, and their very lives from the air. All of us follow the air for our vital force, exactly as servants follow an emperor. The vital force of air is generated from the original vital force of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that Supreme Lord be pleased with us. Right? So here you see is talking about the conventional, but that comes from the Lord. That's the whole point, is whatever you see, it has the formula that it functions on is because it comes from the original, which is the Lord. Right? So that's always, so we see the formulas on which it acts, it works on both levels, but the point is you have to know what effect you're getting from the two levels, because one you get material, one you get spiritual. Right? So when you can see the conventional in connection with Krishna, you get a spiritual. And if like the Maya bodies, you see the Lord, in the conventional way, you get material. Yeah. Adhikarna 10. Concerning light. Footnote. 13. Footnote. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. From the Lord's life airs arose air, which is the essence of Saha, Bala, and Ojas of all living entities. We devatas of the intelligence and other functions follow this life air just as servants follow the king. From the space in the Lord's heart arose the holes of the body. From his navel arose ether, which is the shelter for the five life airs, the senses, the mind, and the five secondary life airs, and the body. Sartartha Darshani, 8.5, 37-38. That makes sense? So again, all of it's coming from the Lord. Okay. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Okay.
Maharaj?
Yes.
You're from the space in the Lord's heart. That means speaking of Akash. And then the next point is about Pran.
Just saying it's the space, yes, you could say it's the ether, like that. But then the thing is there is the principle of ether, but then you have the space, so it means your accommodation. Right? So that you're able to accommodate things. But the point is then that accommodation means then there's that's based on the existence of the ether. So you always have to have those two aspects. Because you always have the masculine and feminine. So if you're talking about two seemingly different things on the same thing, but they match, but you can't tell why they're different. That's because one's masculine, one's feminine. Is that? Yeah. Okay. Adhikarna 10.
Sorry. Ether would be masculine and feminine?
Yeah, like that. Because what means the existence of it is the masculine, and the form of it, the movement of it, the results that can be gained from it, that's the feminine.
So ether is masculine and space is feminine, because we mentioned in the last
That meaning that the space, because it mentions the space in the Lord's heart arose, from that arose the holes in the body, from his navel arose ether. So ether and space are the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? But here we're meaning that, how do you say, that because there is space in the heart, there's space everywhere else, because it accommodates all the different activities.
Yeah.
Right? So from his navel rose ether, because in the navel, that's where, because from there comes all the life airs, right? The vital force. And so they're all held together in the navel. That's why you don't mess with the navel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You know, it's even said in Ayurveda, you don't clap on your navel.
Yeah.
You know, young guys generally don't do it because it won't do anything like that. You know, but once they get a little older, then they can do that and make quite a lot of noise. But it throws off the life airs because you're forcing air in there, which shouldn't be there, and it throws off the life airs.
Yeah. and all the diseases arise from the navel. So the Nabhi Pariksha is done in Ayurveda to determine what is the problem.
Yes, so that's the whole point, is it's from there. So they're bringing out different aspects of the same thing. So there's the space itself, and then there's its control of the life airs. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So piercing is not good? Piercing is not good?
Well, you're generally doing the skin outside, but I wouldn't recommend it. It's getting a bit close. But, yeah, it's not so good. Yeah. And what do you call it? Oh. Adhikarana 10, concerning light described as feet. Jyotish charana adhikaranam. Sutra reference 1-1. 24 to 27. Adhikarana Prakashika. Adhikarana 10 teaches that Jyotish, the light spoken of in Chandogya Upanishad 3.13, is not the ordinary physical light, but the highest Brahman. Summary of Adhikarana 10. Vishaya. The Chandogya Upanishad states, Jyotish shines in the spiritual world, above all the material planets. Jyotish forms the background on which all material universes and all material planets from lowest to highest rest. Right? So that's the whole thing. It's what shines in the spiritual world, why everything is always bright, but it's what everything here rests on. Does that make sense? Yeah. So there it's prominent, here it's hidden. You know, it's the background. This Jyotish is present in the heart of every living being. Shamshaya. What is the Jyotish described here? Is it the light of the sun and other luminous objects, or is it the Supreme Brahman? Purvapaksha. Because there is no mention of Brahman in the passage, the word Jyotish in this text must refer to the light of the sun and other luminous aspects. It didn't mention the sun either. You understand? So that's why they're motivated in their understanding. Therefore, even they're saying it doesn't say Brahman, it can't be Brahman, but it doesn't say sun either. But it can be sun. So that's the whole problem with the way they're thinking. Right? Siddhanta, Srila Vyasadeva replies in the following sutra, Jyotish Charanabhidhanat. Because the Jyotish in this text is described as having feet, it must refer to the Supreme Brahman. Sutra 1124. Jyotish Charanabhidhanat.
Why can't it refer to the sun god?
It does.
Sun god also has feet.
No, but then he is the Supreme Brahman. Not the god, but Surya Narayan. Like that. Okay, Jyotihi of the Jyotihi. Charana of the feet, abhidhanat, because of the mention. Light refers to Brahman because of the mention of Brahman's feet in a previous verse.
There was no mention of Brahman's feet in the previous verse.
Yeah, when we're talking about the sun.
Oh, that previous.
Yeah, since it's everything's building on.
Mm-hmm. It's a previous, not the previous.
Yeah. In a previous. Yeah. You know, it's just like, you know, how do you say? But you should have done that. It says, but I didn't know. No, but 3 years ago I told you. So, a previous verse. Right? Okay?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Sutra Pakashika. Impersonal commentators on the Upanishads are wont to give impersonal interpretations to most words. In the case of the word Jyotish from the Upanishadic passage in question, Chandogya Upanishad 3.13.7, Shankara and his ilk define it as the inert element fire or light. According to Srila Vyasadeva, this faulty understanding is due to a failure to consider the preceding passages. When one examines the verse in its proper context, the original intended meaning shines forth. Right? So, see, as if you're going to juggle, you can't necessarily connect one verse to another. Because then you've juggled this and this way and got whatever meaning you want. But if you compare it to the previous verse, then the context will be wrong. So then you can't juggle in that way. So then it's going to be standard for them to take the word juggly as each one is on its own, unless there's an advantage of connecting them. But otherwise, if there's no advantage, they won't connect them. So that's the point of the proper Siddhanta. Then you can see everything connected, and there's no problem. So you can discuss it on its own. You can discuss it in context. You can discuss all these things. So.
It appears that their interpretation is based on material knowledge.
Yes.
It's always material.
Yes.
Never talk about Brahma as such.
Yes.
So why would they call it Uttaramimamsa if it's all about matter? Means themselves basically coming to that point.
Yeah. They're taking it, I guess, from this standpoint. You say Utra, meaning it's the light latter part. So the Upanishads are the higher point because they're the philosophy of the Veda. So Purva means the beginning, and Utra means the latter.
So it's just a matter of discussion. It's not the subject itself.
Yes, but they're not trying to get. So why they'll think it is higher is because renunciation will be higher than desire. So. Then they're looking at it, the karma mimamsa will be fruit of activity. And then this, their form of utra mimamsa, that will be about liberation. So then it's always accepted that moksha is higher than dharma. So then in that way they'll consider they're higher.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
Because they bring everything down to the material levels.
Yes. That's why they're called mayavadis. Means literally, means they call themselves Mayavadis. It's not that, you know.
It's not an offense.
Yeah, it's not, you know, just like those from England call themselves English. You know, it's like, it's not, so they see anything, if you can describe, see it, you know, if you can experience it with the senses, with the mind, with any of the elements, then in their context, it must be material. It can't be spiritual. So therefore it can't be Brahman. That's why they're trying to do this. But we're trying to break that by showing no, everything is Brahman. It all goes back to Brahman. Is that something else? Yeah. Then they have to look at this world in a different light. And so then if this is Brahman and it has variety, but it's temporary, then if this is a reflection of the original, means in other words, the principle of how the original Brahman functions and the ordinary, or what is the other word? How it's just being used? Yeah, like this. That the aspects where it's just how it's functioning here. But that has to be based on, if it's come from there, it has to be based on the same principle. Though, being a transformation of the energy, therefore it'll have those inferior quality. So you try to see the superior, the supreme in the superior aspects of the creation. That's why, therefore the recommendation of being pious. You can say, yes, it's all Krishna, anything can connect to Krishna. Yes, it is. But of all these things, then Krishna as a person can be related with the superior qualities, not with the inferior. That's why then we prefer the superior. That's why then we will prefer the pious activities over impious. Though you can start from an impious position, seek the connection to Krishna, get purified, and then bring yourself to the pious position and continue from there. Right? But it's never recommended that you remain in that impious position. Otherwise, why would you do it when it's not recommended, other than attachment? So, yeah. Okay.
All right. I had a question before, like on this, you know, everything's Brahman, but because certain things have the superior qualities, it seems like they are more Bhagavan, like Bhagavan.
So that's the whole point, is that the superior qualities are coming from Bhagavan.
Yeah.
Brahman is the effulgence of Bhagavan's qualities. Does that make sense? You have Bhagavan, who has the desire.
Yeah.
Icha. He has qualities and all that.
Yeah.
Right? So that is, you could say, connected with the Kriya aspect.
Yeah.
or the Abhideya aspect. Then, from that, then you have, therefore, that has its effulgence, its existence, its glory. Therefore, then you have the jnana, or the sambandha aspect. Does that make sense? So it all goes back to the person. But the point is, the person has qualities, and, you know, there is existence. But it's about the person. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Impersonal commentators on the Upanishad... Oh, we just read that. Here the word Jyoti refers to the Supreme Lord who is the light glorified in the Upanishads. Vyasa shows this by comparing Chandogya Upanishad, verse 3.13.7, to 3.3.12.6, which both mention the concepts of Ekapada Vibhuti and Tripada Vibhuti. While not adjacent, these verses are brought together by joint mention of the spiritual world, by use of the relative and co-relative pronouns yat and tat. Right, so, in other words, there's the reading of the literature, then there's the study. So this will come up from the study. Study means you connect all the different verses that have the same common point. Does that make sense? Reading means you're following the order, because we don't know anything, so you can't reveal everything at once. Right, you give the essential points, so you get kind of a concept of what it is. Then all the elements of that are all revealed at levels where you can accommodate, right? Because that depends on ability. Right, so in the beginning, ability is less, so therefore what's given is smaller. And then the connection's there, then they go on to a bigger one, and then more connections, and bigger again, and bigger like that. But what happens is as you go through those levels, then unless you keep everything connected to the original point that was made, then you see that there's a difference between level 2 and level 1. When all it is level 1's already included in level 2, but we, you understand? And so then we go up from there, till you finally get to the final stage. Then, having gotten to that final stage, then you can see the development of that by looking back over all the same common points in all the levels. Does that make sense? Right? You know, so you have five levels, and let's say there's five topics and five levels. So topic one is described on level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So reading means going through, hearing all the five levels on level 1, all the five levels on level 2, all the five on 3, like this. Study means looking at all topic one on all five levels. And then seeing its development, progression, and everything. Then like that. Then seeing, once you see all that, then comparing them all together. Right? Then it's like a fabric. So you see it both ways. Does that make sense?
That's the reason why we have chapter 39 and chapter 12.
Because they're describing different things. Just like the topic that's described in chapter 2 has been described in chapter 3 in Gita. You know, but at a deeper level. Then in chapter 4 again, at a deeper level again, and then chapter 5. So the idea is that you're studying one thing, which is Buddhi Yoga, but you're seeing it all together, right? Because it says in the middle six chapters, it's talking about the Lord and bhakti. But then to express that bhakti, you have to do activities, use your intelligence, use the mind. So the technicalities of how to do that have been given in those chapters. So it's describing just one thing. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Maharaj, is it therefore that Vedas are not written as encyclopedia, rather they're written as a progressive studying of student for?
Generally, if the shrutis, I mean the smritis, will be like that because they're all conversations. So the point is, in a conversation, you move at the speed that the audience appreciates. So depending upon the audience, that movement may be quicker or slower. You know, or the flavor will be different, or yeah, right. So just like when Krishna talks to the gopis, and after he leaves Vrindavan, every time he talks about how he is everything and in everything. You know, and by this they can always be with him. And understanding that, then the gopis are satisfied. Right? So it brings them to the position of that sweetness. So Krishna, that sweetness of Krishna is in everything. They can see him everywhere in everything that they do, because he's what makes everything work. But they're looking at him, not the mechanics of it. But someone like Vasudeva will be saying the same thing, but it will be more, a little bit more of the mechanics, more of the grandeur, the greatness of the Supreme. So for them, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That term's used very regularly. He says it, they say it, the gopis. So it's not that they don't know, but it's not, that's not the important point. So for Vasudeva, it's important. He's the Supreme Lord because of the aspect of majesty. But at the same time, he's his son. And so there has that parental aspect. So it's a mix of these two. Well, in Vaikuntha, it'll just be he's God. Right? So they're all seeing the same aspect of the philosophy, but they're looking at it from different perspectives. Right? So the gopis are looking at it that, you know, why I'm doing the work, why it works is because Krishna is the person. So they just become absorbed in Krishna. That love for Krishna, that Krishna they know in everything that they do. Right? So, but the presentation sounds like it's just discussing Brahman or Paramatma. But actually, their understanding from the platform of Bhagavan. So that's why they are considered the highest. Their understanding of the Chintabheda Bheda Tattva is higher than anybody. That's why when they come down and preach, then you have this kind of stuff. Right? Because according to, you know, the path of Raganuga, then they should just be telling some nice stories and, you know, just new stories that we've never heard before and like that. But here is that, they, you know, they're arguing over a word. Right?
Like so that. There is different types of meanings in the same sutras or purports. For different,
because Krishna is everything. Mm-hmm. It means any aspect of Krishna. That's the whole point. So one can understand it. That's why a Chintabheda Bheda Tattva can accommodate anybody and anything. But it doesn't mean that it considers them all the same. Just like Krishna is everything, but he's different. So, yes, Krishna is everything. You can use everything in Krishna's service, but there's a difference. Is it about Krishna? Is it about us? That's the part that's missed. Right? So we see here, impersonalists can't tell the difference. Right? Those who are materially attached can't tell the difference. Point is Krishna is everything. Everything is connected to Krishna, so that all these tree over there that it's doing what is tree stuff, that's in following the order of Krishna. Therefore, it's pious. Right? Like that. And that's why sitting here in the Dham, it's just making spiritual advancement. It's not making any offenses. Right? It's not that when you walk by it, you know, hits you in the back of the head and then sniggers.
Maybe coconut.
Huh?
Maybe coconut.
No, they never fall on anybody's head. People are always worried about it. They, you know, all the cities that have them, they have cut all the coconuts because they will. But Prabhupada said, they'll never fall on anyone's head because they have eyes. Why will they fall on anyone's head?
3 eyes.
Yeah, so. Coconuts have eyes. Yeah, so they're not going to fall on anyone's head.
But Kadamba does.
Bail fruit falls on your head. Kadamba fruit falls on your head.
Does have eyes.
Yeah, no eyes. But coconut never falls on anyone's head. So they don't have to worry about that.
Yes. So we can sleep under a coconut tree with peace.
Yeah, I wouldn't push it, you know. You know, especially if you go and you find right where the coconuts are and sleep right there. Am I close enough? Yeah, then the tree might, you know. Because there's other things around the coconut, you know, those little funny, there's all kinds of stuff there, so I can drop some of that on you. Okay. For these reasons, it should be understood that both texts describe the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Jyotish described in this text is the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, and not the light of the sun and other luminous objects. Okay? Shri Govinda Bhashya, Vishaya, It is said in the Upanishad, Ata yad ata paro divyo jyotir dipyate. That light which shines above heaven, higher than everything in the highest worlds, beyond which there are no other worlds, is the same light which is within man. Chandogya Upanishad 3:13-7. Right? So, since we're not creating all that, it can't be us. Right? Shamshaya. The doubt is this. Is this Jyoti fire or Brahman? You know, fire of digestion within us, you know, what that is. Purva Paksha is like the Dhanavas, right? They'll devour the universe, you know, that kind of, Purva Paksha. It is the light of the sun, since Brahman is not mentioned previous in the verse. Same. Neither is sun, but hey. Siddhanta, Jyotish Charana Bhidhanat. Light refers to Brahman because of the mention of Brahman's feet in the previous verse. The Jyoti or light means Brahman. Why? Because of the mention of feet. Previously it was said, Etavan asya mahimato jayams cha purusha pado sya sarva bhutani tripara asyam ritam divi. Oh, okay. This is Chandogya, because that's in Purushukta, but it's slightly different. So that's because it's Chandogya. Okay. Such is the greatness of Gayatri. Greater than this is the Lord. All entities are one of his feet. His three feet are nectar in the sky. Right? Because the Gayatri has three padas, or 3 meters. So therefore, then in this form, the Lord has 3 feet. Chandogya Upanishad 3:12-6, footnote 14. This verse is cited from Purusha Shukta, Rig Veda 10:90-3. Yeah, so they'll also have a slight different. Yeah, because generally what we're chanting is Yajurved. Or, yeah, so then it'll be touch different.
Where it mentions that God is having 4 feet, not 3 feet. 1 foot is all the entities, and the 3 feet are nectar in the sky. So that is total 4. The Sanskrit Shlokam.
Oh, okay. No. But here actually, no. It's talking about the. Sorry, it's talking about the Ekapada and the Tripada. Means here is that all entities are one of his feet, meaning that the conditioned living entities that are in the material world, that's 1 foot, that's the Ekapada. Yeah, and then the Tripada are that in the sky. I just mentioned about the three because of the term Gayatri, but actually here it's talking about the spiritual sky and the material sky. Yeah. Okay. In the previous verse, the living entities comprising 1 foot are mentioned in relation to the spiritual sky. The meaning is this. Footnote? We did that. In the previous verse, the living entities comprising 1 foot are mentioned in relationship to the spiritual sky. The meaning is this. The verse describes Brahman as having 4 feet. Brahman is indicated by the word yat in the verses following that, including 3:13-7. Atta, yad, ataha. Though the verse occurred at a distance from each other, the connection between them remains. Also, the passages are connected since sky is mentioned in both verses. Therefore, light refers to the Lord endowed with all effulgence. It does not refer to the sun. Right? So, you know, so that's how study goes on, is that they connect like this. Like in when we were studying the analysis of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada would pull verses from many different chapters and put them into one point. Right? He would give the order of looking at the verses, but the point was is that, you know, they go together like that. They have common words. So that's how this is put together, is because we see is that you take the common word of the Vedanta Sutra and the common word of the Bhagavatam, and you end up with the same philosophical point being described in both. That's why it said it's the natural commentary. It's not a direct commentary. It's not taking verse sutras for sutra and then having. But all the points made, all the adhikaranas in the Vedanta Sutra, those are all explained in full, naturally, in Bhagavatam. Yeah?
Illustrated also with stories sometimes.
Yes, illustration and all these other things. So because the Puranic presentation is generally easier to understand. Bhagavatam verse reference, Srimad Bhagavatam 8.5.36. The sun god marks the path of liberation, which is called Archira Di Vartma. He is the chief source for understanding the Vedas. He is the abode where the absolute truth can be worshipped. He is the gateway to liberation, and he is the source of eternal life, as well as the cause of death. The sun god is the eye of the Lord. May that supreme Lord, who is supremely opulent, be pleased with us. Right, so here's about the path of liberation. And what's a path? What's the point of a path if you don't have feet? Right? Yeah. Sutra 1.1.25. Chanto bidhana netichen natata chetor Pana nigadhat tatahi darshanam. Chanda of a meter, abhidhanat, because of being the description, na, not, tata, in that way, chetaha, the mind, arpana, placing, nigadhat, because of the instruction. Tatahi, furthermore, darshanam, logical. If one objects that the feet are in reference to the Gayatri meter mentioned previously in the same section of the Upanishad, the answer is no, since that section teaches concentration of one's heart on Brahman and the form of Gayatri. That is inconsistent with the meaning, right? Because we had mentioned about the Gayatri, but they point out, no, there's 4 feet. Right? The three was talking about the spiritual world, one was talking about here, so it wasn't talking about 3 feet. Does that make sense? So they're trying to take, where it's talking about 4 divided as 1 and 3, and say it's just talking about the 3 in the Gayatri. So therefore the Gayatri means the sun, therefore it means fire. Right? But we're talking about, no, the Lord is the Lord of everything, and that, and he happens to be the Lord here also. So, yeah? Okay. Okay, that is consistent with the meaning. Sutra Prakashika. This sutra shows that Jyoti refers to Brahman, not the meter of the Gayatri Mantra, as some might object. Sri Govinda Bhashya means not that we can't describe the Lord as the 3 feet of the Gayatri, because he's the Lord of the Gayatri is explaining why 3 feet, because Sabanda Abhideyam Prayojana, so Madan Mohan Govinda and Gopinath. But that's a different discussion, because here it's actually talking about 4 feet, so that wouldn't be the context. Right? Sri Govinda Bhasha, Purva Paksha. The word Brahman is greatly separated from the verse describing light. Therefore, light cannot refer to Brahman. Siddhanta. This is refuted by the following sutra. Chando bidhanan netichen natata chetor pananigadhat tata hidarshanam. If someone were to claim the word Jyotish here does not refer to Brahman, but the Gayatri meter, then I would reply, this is not true. The Gayatri meter is taught to assist meditation on Brahman. For this reason, it is logical and appropriate to interpret the word Jyotish to mean Brahman. Right? It's for concentrating on Brahman, because we may not appreciate Brahman here in the Ekapada, but we can appreciate in the Tripada. Does that make sense? So then we're focusing on Brahman in these three aspects of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So it's about Brahman, it's not about the sun. Right? Yeah. Right, because how you say the Karmakanda, they would be worshipping the Gayatri Mantra as the sun god. We're understanding as Surya Narayan. Understand? So there's a difference there. So we're worshipping the Supreme Lord. They're worshipping the Devata. Because they're interested in karma, so that's given by the Devatas, so therefore then. Yeah? This is refuted by, okay. If someone were to claim the word Jyotish here does not refer to Brahman, but to the Gayatri meter, okay, we just said it. This is not true. The Gayatri meter is taught to assist meditation on Brahman. For this reason, it is logical and appropriate to interpret the word Jyotish to mean Brahman. Then again, Purva Paksha. Right, so they have 2 points in this one. It is said, Gayatri Va idam sarvam bhutam yad idam kinchit. Everything that exists is Gayatri. Chandogya Upanishad 3.12.1. After that is explained that Gayatri is all living beings, the earth, speech, the body, and the heart. Then it is said, Chaisa chatushpada sad vidha. Gayatri tad etad richa bhutam etavan asya mahima. Gayatri has 4 feet and 6 varieties. This is described in a verse. Such is its greatness. With this description, how can the mantra suddenly refer to Brahman with 4 feet? The word Jyotish does not refer to Brahman because the 4 feet refer to Gayatri. Chandaso abhidhanat. Siddhanta, this is not so. Why? The sutra answers. Because the verse teaches, Nigadat, about meditation in the heart, chetorpana, on Brahman, which appears in the form of Gayatri. That is why it says that Gayatri is everything, since Gayatri indicates Brahman. The word darshanam means consistency. If the Gayatri were to be accepted as merely a meter, then the meaning would be lost. How can a meter be all beings? Thus, that Gayatri refers to Brahman and has been shown to be correct. Right? Because you have to get back to the actual point. Because all these connections on the secondary platform, they're all there because of the primary. Right? The energy of the primary is what's transforming. So since it's the same and fundamental energy, why wouldn't the adjustments have the same flavor? Does that make sense? That. So, therefore, on that platform, you can make all these connections and then argue ad infinitum, right? But the point is no, you have to go back to the original point. That makes it clear. Then the argument is dropped. Does that make sense? When you go back to the primary aspect, then fighting over the secondary doesn't have meaning because there is connection between the secondary. But we can't see it. The only way we can see it is through the primary. So if you see the primary, then we may be able to see the connections between the secondary. But that still doesn't keep them separate. They don't stand on their own. They stand because it's connected to the Lord, is Brahman. Right? So even if you want to say Gayatri, it's because Brahman's the one that has 4 feet. Therefore, Gayatri describing and worshipping Brahman has 4 feet. Not that Gayatri is 4 feet on its own. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, Bhagavatam reference 3.14.32. Thereafter, the Brahmana took his bath in the water and controlled his speech by practicing trance, meditating on the eternal effulgence and chanting the holy Gayatri hymns within his mouth. Kashyapa. Oh, okay. Three, okay. Okay, so we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jaya Nitai Gaura Premanand.